As I was preparing, so this is the second part of a series I'm doing on prayer. And I don't know about you, but you know, I'm quite champing at the bit and wanting to really get down to the stuff that I'd put on my mind storming. And when you start reading the Bible and listening to God, he has other ideas. And after pages and pages and pages, I'm still in the first 20 chapters of Genesis, looking at prayer and where it all began. And by about the 10th page of notes, there was a very clear pattern that God was trying to make clear to me. And time again, I'd written in the margin, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. And last month, we were talking about giving him our two ears, giving him the time, really intimacy, you know, that actually prayer has to start with a relationship. Because if you don't have a relationship with God, then what's your prayer all about, really? And we'll sort of, very good Spurgeon quote here. He says, "Neither prayer, nor praise, nor hearing the word of God will be profitable to those who have left their hearts behind them." So the title of today is Prayer is a Sacrifice, and Sacrifice is a Prayer. And we just have to start at the beginning. I think I've really felt this because the way we pray now is surely built upon the foundations of all the apostles and the patriarchs of the whole Bible. And I want to go right to that bottom foundation. So last month we went and had a look at Abel, and we realized that Abel, do you know, it doesn't say very much about Abel in the Old Testament. It really doesn't. But do you know what? Hebrews, I think it's 11:4, it says, he will never be forgotten because what he did by faith is still speaking today. So basically, we realized last month that he was listening to God. And what was he listening for? He was listening to God's heart. So that was when we did the put your heart on Father's chest and listen to the beat of his heart. But and he twigged that really the basis of all creation and our relationship with God, it's all based on sacrifice. So he gave this lovely offering. And I looked a bit more into that offering and was presumably the first farmer. It doesn't mention Adam and Eve and what Adam and Eve did. I might be able to be a butcher. So, but, you know, God has a very good nose. And when that bigger bit, but it, sharing the best bit, the bigger bit, and giving that to God. The five love languages. And I meant to look at the guy's name by Gary. Does anyone pleases your heart, Lord? Yeah, he was a great person to emulate. I know I am not like her and I preach in a very different way. But she was very awesome. I don't think any of us can forget when we come to this. I mean, I think it was just a bit, nah. And it, I don't think he'd spent the time with of ourselves. And, you know, there's a quote in one of these books which talks about how, let's see whether I can find it. It's our own self-consciousness that is man's disease. It's all your effort, your resolve, and your determination that get in your way. Self-consciousness is man's disease. That's Eric Gilmore in his little booklet called Love Him. So there's a way of getting rid of self. Ray would have called it dying to self. There's a way of dying to self. And do you know what? It's a lifelong process. I think one of the biggest things I've learned is thanksgiving. I didn't learn that until I met Ray, and I feel embarrassed. I feel embarrassed a bit that my church never taught us. You know, I think there's lots in the Bible that we haven't been taught in the past because we've been too mind-orientated. I had some great sermons there, and they really taught us prayer ministry for healing, and it was a really brilliant church. But a lot of the things that are in the Bible, I don't think we got taught. And the thing is that what was it that Abel was doing when he gave that sacrifice. What was it? I think a lot of it was thanksgiving. I think he was saying, I know my parents let you down. I know that we have inherited this amazing earth. You've allowed us to bring these animals up, to bring fruit from the earth, to farm. And what, I'll tell you something, when you look at Earth from space, I really recommend looking at YouTube, the International Space Station and the Blue Marble astronauts, the photograph that the astronauts took of Earth from a distance. And do you know, I think all dictators ought to go to the ISS, the International Space Station, because when, if they'd ever did, I think they would stop wanting to own it. Stop wanting, realizing that actually this beautiful, amazing globe of light and water, it stills your heart. So I recommend that. But I think Abel was saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thanksgiving is a sacrifice. It is, especially when we thank him for everything, as in Ephesians 5:20. I repeat this again and again, but when we start thanking him for everything, one of the biggest things in my life at the moment is my daughter is going through a really difficult time, and somebody who I suspect is into African witchcraft is basically making her life hell. And I have been praying for her. But I began, I know that we don't curse, we thank God, we bless those who curse us. And but I had heard someone pray a prayer, and I think this is a lesson for us all. It was a great prayer for what they were praying for. They prayed for the people who were supposed to be moving out of their house, the tenants, for them to sell their house in order to give the money to the Eternal Wall of Prayer. And they wouldn't move out. And so they prayed, give them no rest and no peace. And I know Jesus says that there are some healings that won't happen unless you fast. So sacrifice. Now, I used to fast a lot when I was younger. I don't know about you, but I actually find it quite difficult now. My body doesn't like it. It's different to what it was. But there are other things that you can fast from. So for the last week, I have fasted from TV, radio, social media, and what else? There was something else. Anyway, a lot. And I can tell you, it's very quiet in my flat now. And that's quite hard for somebody who's just over a year being widowed, because you miss the other person. You miss the chats that happen throughout the day. But, and though it was difficult, I have got into a lovely rhythm, and I now play worship instead of playing the radio. It means I don't have the news blasting at me all the time. There are lovely programs on Radio 4, but I can get them all on iPlayer when I want to, not before the healing the healing service, which is next Sunday, 6 o'clock till 7. So that's going to be our service next week. And what I'm finding is that my prayer has completely changed for this woman who's making my life a misery. And I've discovered God's love for her. I know God loves her. I've always known God loved her. He loves everybody. But the quality of my prayer has improved. I no longer say, no rest, no peace for her name. And I suppose my warning is, just because somebody else prays, it doesn't necessarily mean that should be your prayer too. Okay? So with that couple, the tenants did move out and they were able to sell the house. And I think that's what Holy Spirit revealed to them. So sometimes borrowed prayers are great, and sometimes they're not quite the ticket. But my love for this woman, the sense of the increase of my love for her, when I pray, oh, I have a vision of her coming to Christ. I did before, but this is a bigger vision. I actually feel like going and knocking on her door, no idea where she lives, and saying, do you know how much God loves you? Do you know? And her particular gifts of, what is it? She's very tenacious. God is gonna use that tenacity one day. He's gonna use it to his good because he works good in all things. So there's something about me sacrificing all those things that have kept me company since Ray died in order to get a greater revelation of what God is doing, and it's improved my prayer life, my journal. So I was very aware once Ray had died, I try to keep a journal. Sometimes it's not possible every day, all depending on what's happening, but I was very aware that my journal had become, this is what happened this morning, this is what I did this afternoon, this is what I'm doing tomorrow. Now it's, oh, Lord, is that what you really meant when that happened in Genesis? And wow, Lord, what an amazing revelation that is. And I'll be writing it down. So excitement. Quality of my journal improved off the chart. So I'm not terribly happy about the idea of going back to radio and TV and all those things. So I'm going to have to review that after the healing service. I'll let you know how it goes. But do you know, when he shows you something that's good for you, you don't really want to let it go. So, anyway. But I think the other thing that Abel was doing when he gave that sacrifice to God was that he was honouring him. And do you know, it's a love gift. He was saying, I love you and I thank you so much that you love me. And I just think it's like in Revelation where they say, you know, you've lost your first love. And I think always we're needing to look at our hearts and just see, have we lost our first love? There's always more. You know, relationships, and I know this from being married twice, you have that amazing falling in love and then a learning to live with each other and then a loving no matter what. And there's a kind of acceptance of each other, and it grows and it's different, and it's the same with God, only bigger and better. So he's never ever going to stop telling us little secrets. There's always more treasure to put into the clay pots if we're willing to make a few sacrifices. Now, I don't think that I should be telling you, stop watching telly, stop listening to the radio, stop watching, you know, social media. Although I have to say, I do think social media is like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we need to be very aware of what we're watching. You know, anything negative, anything slagging people off is an instant red flag. You know, get it says, doesn't it? Paul says, look for what is good and enjoy that. So the offering of Abel. There we are. And then, you know, after that, we've got Noah. And Noah was the first person to actually set up an altar. And it was after they'd the flood was over and he landed on Mount Ararat or near Mount Ararat, and he actually sacrificed some of the animals that he had saved. So I can only presume that they had reproduced during the flood. And it wasn't all of the animals, it was some of the clean. It was the clean animals. And I think that is a sacrifice. God has asked you to save these animals and here you are sacrificing a few of them, but it's in the trust that God has saved them, he's saved you, all is good, he has a reason for it. But the thanks and the praise and the honour and the faith of that sacrifice, very like Abraham when he took Isaac, because God said, I want you to give me your son. Wow, that's the biggest sacrifice God has asked any human being, I think. To give your one and only son on which the whole nationhood that has been promised to you has been founded. And he's obedient in it. And he takes Isaac and ties him up. And Isaac is saying, where's the sacrifice? God will provide. And God did provide because he stayed Abraham's hand, but he was willing to go that far. Now, I don't think I'm quite ready to go that far with my sacrifices, but God is so good and he understands. He says, come to me like little children. We are all like little children. I think I'm only in the crawling stage at the moment, and I think I'm still making a mess. And He's so lovely because he loves us just as we love our children, pick them up when they fall over, clean them up when they make a mess. And do you know what? He loves it. He enjoys doing it. So, altars and sacrifice. And I think that in a funny sort of a way, my journal is a kind of altar, because then whenever Abraham sets up an altar, you know, Abraham is the most amazing person. I'm so glad to be studying him. When you read his story, you know that he must have been like Abel, because he must have spent time with God, because he demonstrates qualities that are so godly. Firstly, he is faithful to his barren wife. Now, I don't think that was very common in those days. If your wife was barren, you got another one. But he was faithful to Sarah. I mean, we'll just put the Hagar, Ishmael thing to one side, because that was Sarah who was asking him, you know, the faith issue perhaps lay with her to begin with, and he just got a bit tempted, but God forgave him, and they moved on. But everywhere he went, he found meaning in it, and he wanted to set up an altar and give God the thanks. And he was blessed through it. I think the other thing about him was that his kindness to Lot. You know, I don't know what kind of a person Lot was, but when talking about sharing halves, you know, they had so many livestock, the land couldn't support them, and Abraham did not want an argument. Arguments don't help. Being negative and critical and selfish, it just doesn't help. And Abraham knew that from his relationship with God. And he said, I don't want to argue with you. You choose where you want to go. And Lot saw all this fantastic, flourishing land. He said, I'm choosing that. And Abraham said, that's fine. And inside he was thinking, because God has promised that he will bless me wherever I go, no matter what. And he set up an altar in thanks and faith. So sacrifice is a wonderful thing, marking significant points on the journey. Ah, so what have we got? Abraham. Actually, I've got a typical sermon giver thing. I've got 5 P's for Abraham. God gave him protection, provision, promise, paternity, and population. That's why they were people of the promise. We are people of the promise too, because we have been spliced in. We can have the faith that Abraham had and that we still speak of today, just as we still speak about Abel. Everything flows from the heart, and God has Abraham's heart, and Abraham has God's, and that is what we're looking for. Yes, now then. Just put belief and faith are a kind of sacrifice. But what we need to be careful of is sacrificing on our own understanding, hence perhaps the wrong prayer. If you go to God and ask him, what is it you want me to do so that I can hear you more clearly? He will tell you, because when you speak to him, when you ask him questions, he will answer. That's scriptural. So I suppose we're going to keep it short today, and I'm going to finish there. But I that's what I'm going to say to you. I would just close your eyes right now and just say to the Lord, is there something more that you would like me to do so that I can hear you better? What is a good sacrifice for me to make in order to honour you and to be more obedient? Because obedience, prayer isn't just about knowing God's heart, it's about being obedient to what he says.